Hey everyone, welcome to Canterville Chase. As the ghost said, you can open for me the portals of Death's House, for love is always with you, and love is stronger than death is. Then the ghost spoke again, and his voice sounded like the sighing of the wind. Have you ever read the old prophecy of the library window? Have you?
Oh, often, cried the little girl, looking up. I know it quite well. It is painted in curious black letters and is difficult to read. There are only 6 lines. When a golden girl can win, prayer from out the lips of sin. When the barren almond bears and a little child gives away its tears, then shall all the house be still and peace come to Canterville. But I don't know what they mean. Really, what are these lines? What are these lines?
They mean, he said sadly, that you must weep with me for my sins, because I have no tears, and pray with me for my soul, because I have no faith. And then, if you have always been sweet and good and gentle, the angel of death will have mercy on me. You will see fearful shapes in darkness, and wicked voices will whisper in your ear. But they will not harm you, for against the purity of a little child, the powers of hell cannot prevail.
Virginia made no answer, and the ghost wrung his hand in wild despair as he looked down at her bowed golden head. Suddenly, she stood up, very pale, with a strange light in her eyes.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid, she said firmly. And I will ask the angel to have mercy on you. Yep.
He rose from her seat with a faint cry of joy, and tucking her hand, bent over it with old-fashioned grace and kissed it. His fingers were as cold as ice, and his lips burned like fire. But Virginia did not falter as he led her across the dusky room. On the faded green tapestry were broidered little huntsmen. They blew their tasseled horns and with their tiny hands waved to her to go back. Go back, little Virginia, they cried. Go back. But the ghost clutched her hand more tightly, and she shut her eyes against them. Horrible animals with lizard tails and goggled eyes blinked at her from the carven chimney piece and murmured, be aware, little Virginia, be aware. We may never see you again. But the ghost glided on more swiftly, and Virginia did not listen. When they reached the end of the room, he stopped and muttered some words she could not understand. She opened her eyes and saw the wall slowly fading away like a mist, and a great black cavern in front of her. A bitter cold wind swept around them, and she felt something pulling at her dress.
Quick, ghost cried, or it will be too late. And in a moment, the wainscoting had closed behind them, and the tapestry chamber was empty.
About 10 minutes later, The bell rang for tea, and as Virginia did not come down, Mrs. Otis sent up one of the footmen to tell her. After a little time, he returned and said that he could not find Miss Virginia anywhere, as she was in the habit of going out to the garden every evening to get flowers for the dinner table. Mrs. Otis was not at all alarmed at first, but when 6 o'clock struck and Virginia did not appear, she became really agitated and sent the boys out to look for her, while she herself and Mr. Otis searched every room in the house. And past 6, the boys came back and said that they could not find no trace of their sister anywhere. They were all now in a great state of excitement and did not know what to do. When Mr. Otis suddenly remembered that some few days before he had given a band of gypsies permission to camp in the park, he accordingly at once set off for Backbell Hollow, where they knew they were accompanied by his eldest son and 2 farm servants. The little Duke of Cheshire, who was perfectly frantic with anxiety, begged hard to be allowed to go too, but Mr. Otis would not allow him, as he was afraid that there might be a scuffle. And arriving at that spot, however, he found that the gypsies had gone, and it was evident that their departure had been rather sudden, as the fire was still burning and some plates were lying on the grass. Having sent off Washington and the 2 men to scour the district, he ran home and dispatched telegrams to all the police inspectors in the country, telling them to look for her, to look for a little girl who had been kidnapped by tramps or gypsies. He then ordered his horse to be brought round, and after insisting on his wife and the 3 boys sitting down to dinner, rode off down the Ascot Road with the groom. He had hardly, however, gone a couple of miles when he heard somebody galloping after him, and looking around, saw the little Duke coming up on his pony with his face very flushed and no hat.
I am awfully sorry, Mrs. Otis, gasped out the boy, but I can't eat any dinner as long as Virginia is lost. Please don't be angry with me. Please don't be angry with me.
If you had let us be engaged last year, there would never have been all this trouble.
You won't send me back, will you?
I can't go. I won't go.
The minister could not help smiling at the handsome young scapegrace and was a good deal touched at his devotion to Virginia. So leaning down from his horse, he patted him kindly on the shoulder and said,
"Well, Cecil, if you won't go back, I suppose you must come with me. But I must get you a hat at Ascot."
"Oh, bother my hat. I want Virginia," cried the little Duke, laughing. And they galloped on to the railway station. There, Mr. Otis inquired of the station master if anyone answering to the description of Virginia had been seen on the platform, but could not get no news of her. The station master, however, wired up and down and the line and assured him that a strict watch would be kept for her. And after having bought a hat of little Duke from Lenin Dapper, who was just putting up his shutters, Mr. Otis rode off to Bexley, a village about 4 miles away, which he was told a well-known haunt of the gypsies. As there was a large common next to it, they roused up the rural policeman, but could not get no information from him. And after riding all over the common, they turned their horses heads homeward and reached the chase about 11 o'clock, dead, tired, and almost heartbroken. They found Washington
and the twins waiting for them. At the gatehouse with the ladders, as the avenue was very dark, not the slightest trace of Virginia had been discovered. The gypsies had been caught on Brooklyn Meadows, but she was not with them, and they had explained their sudden departure by saying that they had mistaken the date of Croton Fair and had gone off in a hurry of fear. They should be late. Indeed, they had been quite distressed at hearing of Virginia's disappearance, as they were very grateful to Mr. Otis for having allowed them to camp in his park, and four of their number had stayed behind to help in search, and the whole chase thoroughly gone over, but without any result. It was evident for that night, at any rate, gone over, but without any reason. It was evident for that night, at any rate, Virginia was lost to them. And it was in a state of deepest depression that Mr. Otis and the boys walked up to the house. Hey everyone, that's it in today's episode. Next episode will drop coming Sunday. In that episode, we will discover if the Otis family did find Virginia. Where did Virginia go? And how this mess comes to an end. So stay tuned till next Sunday. Till then, stay tuned and subscribe to Create Your Ears Titan Podcast. This is Ajay Tambe, the host and producer of this show. Thank you for listening to the Canterville Ghost episode. Please make sure you subscribe us on Apple, follow us on Spotify, and place a review on Apple Podcast. If you don't have an Apple device, you can just go to our Instagram handle @podcastaudios, and you can DM me the review, or you can comment in the posts. Please, your reviews really matter.